You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
We are in our series called Tune My Heart. And over the summer, we're looking at the Psalms, and we're looking at our God and why he is worthy of worship. And so every week, we're taking a psalm, we're kind of corresponding it with some worship, we're looking at the characteristic of God, and so there's little rocks that Grace has hand-painted, which makes them masterpieces, and you should have a collection of them. You can take one home with you, and each characteristic of God that we talk about, so that at the end of the summer, you will have kind of a little reminding altar, a little reminder of who God is and why he is worthy. So today we are looking at Psalm 44, which if you have your phone or tablet, if you have the YouVersion, we are live right now. Yeah, we are. So you can hook up with that, or if you just have a Bible like, you know, most of the world, you can turn to Psalm 44. And I just want to read through it. And go from there. I think the beauty of this psalm is that it's not perfect. Like, it's not the one that we opened with, where it's just, praise God, because God's awesome, because praise God, drums, yay. This is life. This is different than just God is good. But it hits us where we all walk every day. Oh God, we have heard with our ears. Our fathers have told us what deeds you performed in their days. In the days of old, you with your own hand drove out the nations, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples, but them you set free. For not by their own sword did they win the land, nor did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your face, for you delighted in them. You are my king, O God. Ordain salvation for Jacob. Through you we push down our foes. Through your name we tread down those who rise up against us. For not in my bow do I trust, nor can my sword save me. But you have saved us from our foes and have put to shame those who hate us. In God we have boasted continually, and we will give thanks to your name forever. And then there's a pause, because that's a great part of life right there. And then life has another side. But you have rejected us and disgraced us and have not gone out with our armies. You have made us turn back from the foe, and those who hate us have gotten spoil. You have made us like sheep for slaughter, and have scattered us among the nations. You have sold your people for a trifle, demanding no high price for them. You've made us the taunt of our neighbors, the derision and scorn of those around us. You've made us a byword among the nations, a laughingstock among the peoples. All day long my disgrace is before me, and shame has covered my face. At the sound of the taunter and reviler, at the sight of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, though we have not forgotten you, and we have not been false to your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. Yet you have broken us in the places of jackals and covered us with the shadow of death. If we had forgotten the name of God or spread out our hands to a foreign God, would not God discover this? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yet for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. Awake. Why are you sleeping, O Lord? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly clings to the ground. Rise up. Come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love. This was written back in the day, in the time of the covenant. God set a covenant with his people. He said, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. If you do what I ask you to do, if you're obedient, I will bless you. If you're not obedient and you serve other gods and you don't serve me, I will curse you. What you do good, I do good. What you do bad, I do bad. This is the covenant that is set up. And as long as they stayed true, it was supposed to be that everything was supposed to be good, right? They were coming to this land that was flowing with milk and honey, and they were supposed to have everything that they needed. And the beginning of this psalm, it talks about the stories that the forefathers have told about how God parted the seas and crossed them over so that they could walk on dry land, and how they walked around the city of Jericho and the walls just fell down, and how God just went before them, and everyone quaked in fear. And it had nothing to do with the people. It had everything to do with God. And this was the expectation. If I'm a good person, if I do what God wants me to do, then my life should be good, right? If I make good choices, good things should happen. If I do good things should happen. People who have bad things happen to them are bad people. People that don't follow God get killed. That's the first part of this psalm. God liked us, he hated them, so he smited them. That's how God works, right? And that was how it worked in that day. And as you look through the beginning of this psalm, you look at a people who understand a system. They understand the stories of the things that God has done. And everything is about, God, you did this and you didn't do this. And you did this and you didn't do this. And you helped us. And I know that I don't have any power because it's all about you and what you want to do. And it's all about your actions. And I think that there is an awful lot of that even in our day, right? Even in our faith. I know in my faith, growing up, I learned the Ten Commandments. I learned all the old stories of the times that the good guy won and the bad guy lost, and David and Goliath, and woo! I'll bet right now, Jake is over next door teaching the children something about one of those stories. Because we need to know that our God is all-powerful. But if our faith is based solely on that system, that if I do good, I get good, if I do bad, I get bad, then we miss what faith is all about. Because that system falls apart when life gets hard. When life got hard for these guys, they felt like they had done everything they were supposed to do. They were going to church. They were doing their sacrifices. They weren't serving other gods. And yet, good people were dying. And bad people were winning. And they would say stuff like, I believe in my God, and he's gonna defeat you because my God is better than your God. And then they would lose. And all of the trust that they had put into this system would come back on them in taunts from the people that defeated them. In my life, I've had a moment, many moments, like the second half of this psalm. And most of you guys know my story. My oldest daughter is 13. My son is turning 3. There's 10 years in between my oldest and my youngest. And through those 10 years, we lost 3 babies. We had trouble getting pregnant. All I wanted in the world was more kids. And we were having trouble, and we would go to pray, and we would get pregnant, and then there would be no heartbeat. And I would say, God, what's going on? And we would pray again, and we would get pregnant, and we were pregnant up through 26 weeks, so like over half the pregnancy, and all of a sudden, there was no heartbeat. We lost our daughter, Maddie, and we had a funeral, and we had all these things happen, and it was so crazy because both Nick and I had felt like God had asked us to pray for her. We had actually, like, he pulled me out of the nursery in a service to say, come pray, and I had felt the same thing. We need to pray, and then we got pregnant, and then she died. And I remember sitting in the car and just yelling at God and going, God, who does that? Who does that? Who asks somebody to pray for something and then takes it away? God, what in the world? And I went on a pretty long journey over that time going, God, I didn't do anything wrong. God, I didn't. I thought that I was yours and you were mine and that this was, why is this happening to me? And then after we lost Maddie, we couldn't get pregnant for a super long time. We finally had Lily, and I was scared, and people prayed, and it was okay. And we had Rosie, and I was scared, and people prayed, and it was okay. And then I got pregnant again, and I wasn't scared because it must have just been this fluke. And maybe now that I understood God, maybe now it would be okay. And again, there was no heartbeat. And again, I'm at the doctor's office going through this procedure going, God, I thought we were past this. What is happening in my life right now? And then we had Abraham, my only boy, who I know was from God. And I learned through that journey that God is not always sunshine and roses. And there are times that bad things happen to good people. And the beautiful thing is a psalm like Psalm 44 exists in our Bible because when life is jacked up, it's okay to get at God about it. It is okay to say, God, this is not all right. God, what are you doing? God, I thought you were this and you're not. What is happening right now? Because God will come back at you with truth that you need to understand. I know going into my whole experience with all of these things that I thought that life was pretty simple. I thought that if I did the right stuff, if I loved God, if I chased him, it would be good. And as I was confronted with the question, is God good? Has anybody ever been brave enough to ask God that question? Ask yourself that question. Is God good? When people die that shouldn't die, is God good? When it seems like everything should be one way and it's another, is God sleeping? Because that's really what the psalmist begins to talk about. He's like, wake up, God. Are you sleeping? Don't you care that we're oppressed? Don't you care? Because God was supposed to be the one that loved them, but instead, the more they trusted him, the less trustworthy he seemed. The more they boasted in him, the more other people won. Have you ever had a time where there were people opposing you, or there's maybe somebody in your life that just doesn't like you, and then they win. Like, how much harder that is. God, I can remember after Maddie died, there was a string of, like, child deaths where, like, the parents had just lost their minds and, like, killed their kids. Or, you know, a mom had left her kid with a boyfriend who just beat the child to death. Or a child was locked in a basement and starved to death. I mean, these horrible things that should never happen. And I go, God, why did you give that person a baby? And you didn't give me one. How is that fair? Is God fair? Is God in control? Does he have the ability to make things right? And in that moment, I just began to go, what is this whole deal? Because if I've got no control over anything, I can't make anything happen, I can't protect anything, I can't do anything, how? How is this working? How can God let these things happen? You get to this point where you're just like, God, I don't understand. The psalmist says, you sell us for a trifle. God, you don't even get a benefit out of this. Like, selling me out on this one didn't even help you. Like, why? Why? Did you know that God is big enough for you to say why all day and all night for years, and he will still love you? Our word today is unchanging because our perspective on God changes, but God himself does not. And there are so many times in our lives that we need to stand before God and go, wait a minute, this doesn't track with my picture of who you are. So what is going on? The cool part about this psalm is that it has its own footnote. Paul quoted it. Paul quoted this psalm in Romans chapter 8, which is really cool because we read out of the beginning of Romans chapter 8 today just because it was part of the church calendar, not because of anything else. And it was one of those signs that I was like, all right, God, this is what you want to talk about. In Romans chapter 8, he quotes this part. You have... Let me see here. For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now, when the psalmist wrote that, he was mad at God. He was talking about how, God, don't you understand that sheep aren't really for slaughter? Like, we are like sheep who were just raised to be killed. The thing about a sheep is they're worth way more money alive, right? Because you can shave their wool over and over and over again. You can keep a herd of sheep for a long time, and you make money on them every time that you harvest their wool, every single year. And so to raise a sheep to kill it, like you would raise a meat cow, makes very little sense. And the psalmist is like, God, you're wasting us. We were supposed to be your people. The intention of why we exist is so that you and us can have this relationship, so that you do good by us and we do good by you. You're our God, we're your people. And here we are, like sheep being slaughtered, being wasted. God, what is going on? And Paul quotes that part in this part of Romans. But the beautiful thing about this chapter of Romans is it flips the script. The old covenant, you do good, I'll do good. You do bad, I'll do bad. Guess what? We can never live up to that. I'm going to give you a freebie, all right? Everybody who has a friend who ever goes through some kind of like horrible, tragic anything, do not blame them. That one's free, okay? I know when I was hurting, there were people that would be trying to be helpful, and they would come to me with stuff like, you know, maybe if you were just eating this particular root vegetable more, then you would be more fertile, or whatever it was that I was going through. Or, you know, maybe God wanted this because maybe there was something wrong with your baby. Or maybe, or when we look around the world at people groups that are being slaughtered at the time, a lot of people find justification in that because they're not God's people. Or someone dies in a car crash and we justify it with they were driving poorly or whatever it is. When tragedy happens, it makes so much more sense to us if we can have a cause and effect. If something bad happens, I know for me, when she died, one of the first things I started to do was tick through all the sins that I had ever committed and tick through all the ways that I hadn't prayed enough and all the ways that I hadn't done enough and all the ways that I, what is God punishing me for? What do I not know is there? And in reality, that is what the, if you are good, I am good. If you are bad, I am bad. That is what that creates, is it puts all the pressure on us. And the beginning of Romans 8 talks about the law. It talks about what the law was powerless to do because of our frail, sinful natures. Because we will never, ever, ever meet the requirement of being good enough to deserve God. No matter what good things you've done in your life, no matter how much you love God, no matter how much you follow the Ten Commandments, everybody messes up. And everybody messes up probably daily. Everybody is less than enough. And so no matter what happens in your life, you could always trace it back to blaming yourself. And there are a lot of people that spend their lives thinking that God hates them. They spend their lives thinking that God does these things because they deserved it. And I'm here to tell you right now that Jesus flipped that script a long time ago. What we were powerless to do, what the law could never fulfill, that we would always be deserving of God's wrath. God himself loved us so much that he came down as a human being and did it perfectly. And then he died in our place. And God took all the ways that we could not fulfill that law. And he fulfilled it himself. Because he would rather die the world's most painful, humiliating, awful death than live eternity without us. And he comes down and he sets it up. And he abolishes the system that says, if you're good enough, I will love you. If you're bad, I will curse you. And he says, I will love you, I will love you, I will love you, I will love you. And then I will love you. And he opens up this whole new way. Remember we talked about that old that psalm talks about God's hand. It talks about his actions. Kind of like, you know how you can't see the wind, but you can see what it does to the trees, and you can see the devastation of a hurricane, and you can feel the breeze, but you can't see the wind. That is all that they had back then, was the effect of God's hand, the winning of the victory and the losing of the battle. There wasn't a connection with who God was. And then Jesus came down and he fixed it. And then he sent his Holy Spirit to come and live in us. And everything changed. Because it was no longer about pleasing this, whatever this thing was up in the sky and hoping it didn't smite us anymore. Now all of a sudden, the God who loves us more than anything lives in us. He lives in us. And so now, no matter what we walk through, never again can we say, God, why are you sleeping? Where did you go? Because now he's in us. And he's with us. And even when life continues to be crazy sometimes and these things happen, he's in us. And I just remember after I lost Maddie, I was so mad at God. I was just like, God, I don't get you. I don't understand why you're awful sometimes. I don't understand why you let this stuff happen. I'm done. I'm out. I'm done. And there was a moment, and there was this lifting. There was this lifting of the presence of God in my life. And just this like feeling of what it would be like to walk through life alone without him from now on. For me to go, God, I don't want any part of you. If I can't trust you, I don't want you. And the lifting, it was like sucking the breath out of my lungs. And I realized, I still don't have any power. The one thing about that psalm that's true is I can't trust my sword. I am never going to fight my way through life and make it perfect. I'm never going to protect myself from every bad thing that could happen. I can't make myself do anything. My only choice is, do I do it by myself or do I do it with him? And in that moment, as I realized what it would be like to walk through life without hope, to walk through life without a comforter that is in my soul and that knows me and that brings all things to good, because that's in this passage too. We know that our God, who has the power to raise Christ from the dead, brings all things to good for those who love him. Does that mean you never have trouble? No, because guess what? Jesus had to die before the Spirit raised him. Stuff happens. But we have a comforter. We have a God that walks through it with us. We have a God that shows us what we're supposed to do. We have a God that turns it to new things. Do you know how many people's lives I've had the opportunity to be part of and impact because I'm part of this special society of women that have lost something so important in their lives? I know what they hurt, and I'm able to tell them God loves you anyway. And when we get down to where Paul actually quotes this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors, for through him who loved us, for I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See the script flipped when we fell in love with our God. When it became Jesus living in me, when it became that my God himself, my comforter, walks through life with me and I breathe his presence, nothing separates me from that love. Which is really nice when we think about this other covenant where if I did bad, I was just out. If I made a mistake, I was just done. If I wasn't pleasing to God and he wasn't pleased by me, I could just be smited. No, nothing separates us from the love of Christ because Jesus himself is at the throne of heaven interceding for us. He is talking to people in this passage who are being burned for candles at the games in the arenas. He is talking to people who are being fed to lions. He is talking to people who, if they stand up for what they believe in, are slaughtered along with their families. He's not talking to people who live happy little lives. He is talking to people who have found the lover of their soul and who have the presence of God living in them and have found such fulfillment in that, that death in those gross ways is nothing compared to the glory of God. I love the song that they picked today when it talks about my afflictions are eclipsed by glory. There's this thing about the presence of God when you understand how much he loves you, when you understand how he will never leave you, when you understand just how beautiful he is. Everything else fades into the background. No matter what you're walking through, no matter who has hurt you, no matter how afraid you are, I love my mom. My mom is the greatest snuggler in the history of all the world. And when something goes wrong, all I want to do is sit down on the couch next to her and snuggle. Because there was just something about when I would have a bad day at school or I would have a bad day in life, I would go and I would just sit next to her. And it was like, it was okay. Like, she would wrap her arms around me and she would tell me how much she loved me. And in that moment, I would be centered again. I would come back to reality. Like, who cares what those idiots think? My mom, she loves me. And there was comfort there. That is our God. Who cares what anybody else says? We are more than conquerors. It's not about winning the battle. We have all that we need in the arms of Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are real. God, I thank you that you are good. God, I thank you that we can trust you. God, I thank you that you did not leave all of humanity at arm's distance. God, that you did not leave us watching the effects of your hands, but that you allowed us to live with you in our hearts. God, you allowed us to live with your Spirit inside of us. God, you allowed us to know you and be known by you. God, I thank you that you are life, that you are breath, that you are everything. God, I thank you that no matter what is going on around us, Lord, in your presence is wholeness. God, in your presence is love. God, no matter who hates us, you love us. No matter who opposes us, you are for us. No matter who doesn't think that we are worth anything, God, you think that we are worth your very life. And no one can steal that from us, because you are. Because you are, God. You are unchanging. You are forever. And our circumstances do nothing in comparison to your love. Thank you, God, for redeeming us because of your steadfast love. In Jesus' name, amen.